Oh shit, hold on. I just dropped a bunch of shit. Oh, we're back. Oh, we made it. Yeah! Guys, you're just beating the shit out of those symbols every time. Every gosh darn time. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Best of Five. I'm staying alive. Unfortunately, Automatic could not be here with us today. He is dealing with some real life stuff. What I am about to say is a joke. What I am about to say is a joke. But Automatic got so upset at Street Fighter 6 that he has this term for whenever he gets really upset about fighting games. He says he's in the hospital. And now he is in the hospital. He's not actually in the hospital. I don't know where he is. He's doing real life stuff. He's fine. He's not hurt or anything. But he couldn't be here tonight. So right off the bat, as far as the Street Fighter 6 patch discussion goes, we'll table it to next week when he's back. All right? And for those of you that want to know, for whatever reason, my thoughts on where Manon is in this latest patch, I put out a YouTube video. Well, first, I stream during the days now. I did a little breakdown of, like, why Manon sucks. And, like, just looking at the frame data, like, there's a lot wrong. There's a lot wrong. So I hope she gets fixed in the near future. But anyway, I also wanted to point out Blue, who has been our trusty producer. He has been part of the team here at Best of Five for a hot minute. He's been our tournament results aggregator. He's been a producer for us. Now he is our YouTube manager as well. So everybody, please give a round of applause for Blue for helping us out with the YouTube. It has been... Blue has been a godsend for this show. I'm going to be 1,000% honest with all of you. So if you ever see him in the chat hanging out, tell him thank you from me and from you as well if you enjoy the content. You know what I mean? No, he's been helping out with our YouTube channel, and that's been growing really well. It's left me some time to do streams during the day and, like, kind of, like, get this whole thing working. It's all good. Squidly, I think there's a... Do you have the 7TV extension? It's a free extension you can download. It gives you access to emotes. There's a bunch of clap emotes on there that I have enabled. So 7TV. But anyway, hi everybody. We're back to the olden days before Automatic joined the show. Chat, you're my co-hosts again. Welcome back, co-hosts. Not that you guys ever were not co-hosts. You guys are always the co-hosts. Well, I'm always happy to see you guys here. We got a couple of things. To go over. Today's gonna be a little bit of a shorter show. You know, Automatic's not here, so I'm going to go through the combo breaker stuff. We're going to resolve the pizza bet with Automatic next week when he's here. I'm sorry, the pizza / quesabirria bet. I still have to get used to it. There are results. It was close. It was very close. The point differential, I think it was like a 5-point differential between who won and who lost. So it was really, really close. But we'll reveal that next week. And for those of you that saw the stream on Monday of me doing the calculations on stream, no spoilers. No spoilers. No spoilers. Q-Ball, good to see you. Q-Ball went. Q-Ball was, you know, we were talking in the Discord a little bit. I asked everybody how their combo breaker experience was, and Q-Ball was there. I'm happy to hear that things were mostly the same, because what they have at combo breaker is so good. It's so good. It's so good. Right? Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But of course, people being people, not everything was perfect at Combo Breaker. And I want to make sure I say this right off the bat. The stuff that we're going to go over is stuff that is outside of Rick and his staff's control. But there were a couple of really funny memes that came out, and a couple of, like, oddly disturbing situations that came out. But anyway, we're going to talk about all that. But before we do that, hold on. I started a couple. For those of you that listen to the audio podcast, or for those of you that are watching the VOD on YouTube, or even here on Twitch, I started a little bit late because I ended the stream and I was doing a couple of things and I completely lost track of time and I had to run to the supermarket to go get food. And I didn't make it back in enough time for me to set up the show. So I'm a little bit disorganized, but that's okay. We're going to roll with it. What I wanted to say before we go anywhere else is we have our tournament recap, which I am looking for the music of at this very moment, and I can't find it. I don't know where the music went. I don't know where the music for the show went. Well, where the hell did the music for the recap go? I had to like redo a bunch of stuff when my computer died, and I unfortunately lost quite a bit. Okay, well, you know what? We'll just do, we'll do Manon stage music. How's that, huh? It'll be music nonetheless. But anyway, we do have a very beefy recap because, of course, Combo Breaker, being the tournament that it is gigantic. So, ladies and gents, here is the unofficial kind of sloppy recap, if you will. Hit the music. First, as soon as I can pull it up, let's start with the Skullgirls World Championship 2024. It was taken by, big surprise, Sonic Fox over the Killsage, the age-old battle. Sonic Fox and the Killsage. They're always trading one and twos or like top, like they're all in the all top eights everywhere. So congratulations to Sonic Fox for taking first, the Killsage taking second, Nope.avi, best name I've ever heard, taking the bronze medal, Mara Reed taking fourth, Vending and Swift Fox Dash tying for fifth, and Nami Nori and Rod Serra rounding out the rest of the top eight. Let's go over to Killer Instinct. There it is. Killer Instinct, they have a tour again. Killer Instinct is back at full force, and it's so exciting to see. And if you guys did not catch any of this tournament, it was amazing. Sonic Dolphin, for the second year in a row, taking the tournament and winning the big gold medal over Valorax in the grand finals, the British Invader. Wheels, one of my favorite players to watch for Killer Instinct, of course. Like, and if you guys don't know, like, he has had so many amazing moments in Killer Instinct at Combo Breaker. Taking the big bronze medal, so shout outs to Wheels. Wolf Slayer Ninja taking fourth. Extreme Zombie, and not Alex V, the composer, if I'm not mistaken, of a lot of the music that we love in the FGC for Combo Breaker and for Evo. Not composer, producer. I'm sorry, I don't know what the actual terms are anymore. My music degree is dated. Devil May Care, for those of you that don't know, Devil May Care is like one of the pillars of the Killer Instinct community. They do so much for the scene, so them getting themselves in the top eight is amazing. And Letalis Venator, also tying for seventh there. Tied for ninth, Crazy Skate Nate. For those of you that remember, here on this very channel, we streamed the KI United during the pandemic. And Crazy Skate Nate, if I'm not mistaken, was the winner of KI United in the grand finals with Skate Fast Eat Ass. I wish I was making that name up, but I'm not. Crazy Skate Nate getting ninth. The Chronicle, Absolute 011, and SVM all tying for ninth. The legend, the Killer Instinct legend, Bass, time to a duel. Raven is Raw and Carnitas tying for 13th. So shout outs to everybody participating in the KI bracket this year. King of Fighters 15. King of Fighters 15 was a part of the SNK World Tour or whatever they're doing, but they announced it so late. I don't know why they do it. But anyway, Violent Kane taking it over Wero Asamiya this year. Violent Kane taking the big, big win. Wero taking the silver medal. Koopa for the triple Mexican podium, taking the bronze medal. Rylander used to be from Texas, now lives in LA. He was one of the people that was a TO here in Austin for a hot minute. I'm a big fan of his. Super happy to see him do so well and get fourth. Rocky and Kyo and Yurikov tying for fifth, and Dechimo and Brightside going for seventh. Tied for ninth, we got Yuba, Gummy, Dinotail, and Jack Ingoff, the Lord, also an Austin guy, if I'm not mistaken. Tying for 13th, the legend, ex-co-host of Best of 5, Danka, Zendo, Boomcube, and Kenshi. So congratulations to everybody, and congratulations to those of you that qualified slash got points for the SNK World Tour. Next, Mortal Kombat 1, the Pro Competition Offline Tournament. This was one of the last tournaments before the Final Combat that takes place in, I believe, Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Nicholas from Chile taking the big win over Sonic Fox. Sonic Fox back to form in the NRS world. Ninja Killer 212, the Lord, taking the third place bronze medal. Mighty Unjust taking fourth. Video Games, yo. And Bandinos taking tying for fifth. Killer Shinnok, all the way from Brazil, tying with Scorpion Prox, the other Chilean prodigy coming up. So congratulations to everybody. Euphoring, El Kukui, Gurr, and King Gambler. And we're going to talk about King Gambler a little bit later. Tying for ninth. And Dylock, Denzel, J. Terry, Big Daddy G, and Joystick. Tying for 13th, rounding out the top 16. Next. Wait a second. Sorry. Accidentally downloaded wrong things. I apologize. Under Night in Birth 2. Part of the Arc World Tour this year, if I'm not mistaken. The second largest uni tournament in history was taken by Big Black from the USA over Knots in the grand finals. Big Black taking the gold medal, Knots taking the silver. Tang from Canada taking the bronze medal, taking third. Psychotic, also from Canada, taking fourth. 2 Gigabyte Combo tying for fifth along with Revert. Jack Ingoff making another appearance in these top 8 graphics. Dude, this kid is crazy. He is very, very talented. Jack Ingoff tying for 7th along with Stranger. Tying for 9th, we got Argent, Defiant, Snappy, Just Evan. And tying for 13th, we got Spoinkman. That's bestie, best name of the week right there. Rick here, Deeps, and Aria rounding out the rest of the top 16. Keeping on with the Arc World Tour, let's go over to Grand Blue Fantasy versus Rising. This is a gold event for the Arc World Tour of 2024, and it was taken by Zippy. I love saying this dude's name. Zippy from the USA taking the big first place, getting those 100 smackaroos for the Arc World Tour. B-Paw taking second place. Aaron the Mac taking third for an all-US podium. Blue Sky Guy taking fourth. Wavy and Have a Nice Day from Canada. Wavy from the US, Have a Nice Day from Canada, tying for fifth. And Elsa and Makuna tying for seventh. And tying for ninth, we had Monarch, Coach Steve. Everybody loves Coach. Well, I probably shouldn't say that, but I like Coach Steve. I think he's great. Kinari and Kilo tying for ninth. And then tied for 13th, we have Angel, Riazo, CD Lime, and Hex Tengu. We're still sticking to the Arc World Tour. Let's go to Guilty Gear Strive. Guilty Gear Strive for the second year in a row. Wait, is that correct? Somebody has to fact check me on that. I believe Tempest also took it last year, but I could be wrong. Tempest taking the gold this year, at least, for Combo Breaker. Getting himself a lot of those juicy, juicy points in this Arc World Tour gold event. Xander, all the way from Israel. He's been sharing that he's had a hard time traveling, so him getting second here is a big, big deal for him. So congrats to Xander, all the way from Israel, getting second place. Umisho, one of my favorite players, one of my favorite people, taking third. Patachou from France, taking fourth. Aaron DeMac, no stranger to these graphics. And Super Noon, tying for fifth. MFCR and Slash, tying for seventh. Tying for ninth is Edventure, CEO 2023 champion, Tiger Pop, Peppery Splash, and Red I Am Not. And tying for 13th is MJ Kurase, Lord Knight, Krieg, and Cheerio. Cheerio! And we say cheerio to the Arc World Tour as we go on to the other tournaments in Combo Breaker. Sorry about that. My brain stopped for a second. Let's go to Street Fighter 6. Street Fighter 6. Street Fighter Combo Breaker champions are the championship of Street Fighter in Combo Breaker 2024 is staying in the Midwest this year once again with El Chacote, the surprise. Who would have had this in their bingo cards, right? Lily! El Chacote with Lily winning Combo Breaker 2024 over Noah the Prodigy with his Luke. Dual Kevin taking third, Just a Kid fourth. Tying for fifth is Shine and Zach in the Box. Zach in the Box is a TO from, I believe, Minnesota, so I'm happy to see him up there. Ajax Fidelity and Ramsey tying for seventh. And in ninth, we had Flash Metroid, Boomy, Burkish, and Mothman. And tying for 13th, Boombox Hero, Papa Greg, Mags, I'm not saying it, Wanaheda and Max Sama and Cusco. Tying for 13th, So shout outs to everybody. It was really fun to see. If you guys remember, this ran on the very, very, very new patch that came out just a couple days before Combo Breaker started. It was a fun tournament to watch, man. Very, very fun. And last but not least, the main event of the evening. Well, that evening on Sunday, Combo Breaker 2024's Tekken 8. It was a master event for the Tekken World Tour 2024. And it was taken finally by AK from the Philippines. AK has always been so close to a win. He was always the bridesmaid, never the bride. But he overcame Arslan Ash in the grand finals with Shaheen. It was a Shaheen versus Nina match. AK taking it over Arslan Ash, getting himself the first place and all those Tekken World Tour points. Arslan Ash, again, incredible showing. Still doing so good in Tekken in general, taking that silver medal. Farzin, also from Pakistan, taking the bronze medal. John Ding, the water stealer, taking fourth place. Ni and Rang Chu, the Korean duo, tying for fifth. And the only Japanese representative in the top eight, Nobi, tying for seventh, along with America's own Joey Fury. And tying for ninth, we had Dr. The Jake Man, MD, Cherry Berry Mango, Book, and Molgold. And tying for 13th, we had America's Shadow 20Z, Ao, Hendo, and Chikorin. So congratulations to everybody for an amazing Combo Breaker tournament weekend. And honestly, the music ending right there could not be better, because that is the end of our recap. So shout outs to the Manon theme, or I'm sorry, Fett Ferran from Street Fighter for somehow working out perfectly. That, ladies and gents, is the recap. Man, I'm out of breath a little bit, but dude, okay, so let's get into some Combo Breaker stuff, shall we? This was the first time in a long time. Well, the first time since after the pandemic that I have not gone to a Combo Breaker. I felt hella FOMO, man. Like, seeing all of the so something that I thought was really interesting this year that I don't think I've like really noticed before is there was a lot of really, really cool content in the broadcast, right? And shout outs to Esteban and whoever. Like, there's a lot of people in that video team, in the video content team. I don't know all of their names. I don't know all of the teams. But seeing all of the cool stuff they were doing, like, there was a bunch of, like, really cool interstitial stuff that they did. It kind of reminded me of, like, 90s Cartoon Network. That was really, really cool. There was a lot of really, really good content just coming, like, being shown on stream and, like, content coming out of Combo Breaker. It was really, really cool. It gave me hella FOMO. So to the people in the content team, both like graphics wise and video wise and like managing content wise, fuck all of y'all, because you made me really want to be there when I couldn't be there. I mean that in the best way possible. Nothing can be perfect, right? Because, and again, I said this at the top of the show, but I want to say this one more time just to clarify. Everything that we're about to cover is nothing that Rick or his staff could have done to prevent, right? Unfortunately, people are people, and people are going to fuck some shit up. So let's get into it. There were a couple of interesting happenings that happened interesting things that happened at Combo Breaker this year. First was the Michael Murray N-word incident. So This was such a bizarre situation, man. Like, somebody apparently came up to Michael Murray and said, fix Kazuya, N-word. Obviously, the person saying it was black. Michael Murray going straight to Twitter after that specific interaction with a direct quote, uncensoring the word, that caused the big hubbub. I don't have any... I said this joke earlier by accident. I think I might say it again. I don't have any skin in the game as far as, like, whether the use of the word is correct or not. Like, that's not up to me, you know what I mean? But it was just a very bizarre situation and a very bizarre interaction, and I totally get why Michael Murray felt the way he did. So, like, that was just a really bizarre thing to happen. Next was This was the fucking this I think is like the thing that takes the cake. Usually I don't like covering FGC drama or like FGC negativity or like showcasing things that are bad, but I think this has to be shown. Like there is no option here. So we were talking about King Gambler who tied for ninth in Mortal Kombat. In his top eight qualifying match, it was 2-2. It came down to the final game. This happened. This is a tweet from Mena. So somebody comes up and tries to do some coaching. He gets the hand. Right? Homie came up for some coaching. Gambler said, nah, I'm good. Please leave. And instead of saying, oh, okay, you don't need help, this guy takes the headphones off. And causes, like, while the round is starting. So the homie over here just decided to take this dude's head. Whatever he had to say was so fucking important that he completely interrupted the entire dang thing while they were trying to start the game. This is absolutely ridiculous. What an asshat. I agree. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And here's what I think is very, very funny. This is what I think is very, very funny. And I commend King Gambler for this. King Gambler, we can't talk about names. I don't want to name them because I don't want them to be harassed, right? I don't have that big of a platform, but I don't want people to dogpile on this person. That's between them and their God now. But King Gambler said nothing about this on Twitter, right? And the person who did the thing had about four tweets on the occasion. It was like four gigantic like essays. So I admire the shit out of King Gambler for like just not talking about it, because that shows like real strength, in my opinion, on this situation. So, but the other thing is like they let that rock. They kept playing the match after that happened. We've seen this happen before, unfortunately, right? We've seen this happen before, unfortunately. Like when I was there, Combo Breaker 2017, some idiot ran up to Chris G in the middle of their set and Chris G did the correct thing to do. I usually don't agree with Chris G much. Chris G did the correct thing to do. He paused the game and he was like, wait a minute, what the hell was this? So instead, King Gambler just wanted to get the game going and they let it rock. And King Gambler lost out on top eight and he lost his Mortal Kombat Pro Tour qualifying spot for this. If he would have gotten in top eight, he would have made it. So this is fucking awful. Awful. Absolutely awful. And the lesson learned here is, and this happens a lot, and I think it's one of those things where, like, when you're in tournament, things feel a lot different, so you don't really think about, like, what your options really are. You're just trying to, like, get the thing going. Whenever something bad happens or whenever something outside of the game interrupts the game, you stop, right? You absolutely put a halt on what's going on. You stop, and you can always restart the game. You can always restart the game. And that was one of those occasions where, like, they needed to stop and reset because that was fucking stupid. So for those of you that are listening, somebody went up to King Gambler trying to coach. King Gambler gave him the hand. And instead of them taking the hint, they grabbed the dude's headphone, pulled it up to say whatever it is they were going to say. So, Gambler got scared that he had to forfeit. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like that's an outside interference thing. So, and it's different. It's difficult, right? Because the rule is if you pause the game, you lose the round or whatever, right? However, this is a very different situation than when you're in the middle of a game and somebody accidentally hits pause or somebody's controller accidentally disconnects, right? So, Squidly, so the Michael Murray N-word thing was just, he quoted the person who said it to him, is all. And the tweet has since been deleted. The apology for the tweet has not been deleted. I think he said, like, oh, I wasn't trying to, said something along the lines of, I wasn't trying to offend anybody. I was just using it in quotes just to make sure, like, you know, I quoted everybody correctly and, like, say exactly what happened. It's a different situation than somebody just straight up saying the N-word in a racist way. You know what I mean? Was what Michael Murray did okay? I don't... not for me to say. But it happened, and that's where we're at. A couple other really interesting things out of Combo Breaker was the... I unfortunately didn't get the video of this, but there was the water incident with John Ding, where John Ding and Chikorin were playing, and I guess they're homies, and Chikorin took a sip of water. John Ding was like, hey, I want some water too, so he just took Chikorin's water. Oh, man, that stuff was real funny. I'm a fan of John Ding, and I guess they're close, right? So they're close enough to do that, which was really funny. And then on top of it all, after this whole, like, altercation happened... I say altercation, I don't mean altercation. After this happened, the water thing happened, Chikorin put the water bottle on top of the desk, and John Ding goes, hey, you can't, like, put that on the ground. You can't put it on the setup. It was so funny, dude. It was very, very funny. And last but not least, the thing that I think was the most complained about this year at Combo Breaker was the smell. And... certain parts of the crowd were extra stinky, as it were, this year. And I was looking at the weather. So they had also a big incident that happened. Well, I say incident again. I don't mean incident. An event that happened. A canon event, if you will, for those of you Spider-Man people. Apparently, like, at one point on Friday, the venue got hit by lightning and they lost power for a short period of time. And apparently there were, like, actual tornado watches and stuff happening, which was super interesting because something that Rick tweeted out was that Dual Kevin, who plays Rashid, made top three as there was a tornado watch happening in the Schaumburg area. But I think what might have happened, and I could be completely wrong. Like I said, I don't know. I wasn't there. But as somebody who grew up in the East Coast, whenever it's cold and wet, like... sometimes things just smell bad. Sometimes things just smell bad. And it's, you know. It's harder to hide the smell of somebody who has poor hygiene when things like that are going on. So I don't know if it was that, or I don't know if it was something else. Thank you, Shayon, for posting the video on our chat. So for those of you in the chat, you can check the video there. The tornado thing happened, and I think because everything was just wet and damp, I think things smelled worse than they usually do. That's my hope. Optimistic view of things. Of course, like, it's an event and people tend to not be very hygienic, which is a real shame, to be completely honest. But again, like, all of this was completely out of Rick and the staff's purview. Like there, you can't prevent shit like that. Something interesting that somebody that I saw get posted is, like, apparently there were people who just, like, never went back to their room, like, because the venue is 24/7. Well, 24/3, I guess. The venue runs all day and all night. I guess, like, some people just never went to their room. So, you know, usually when you sit somewhere for 3 days, especially in, like, a setting where there's a bunch of other people sitting there for 3 days, getting stressed out, like, you know, it's gonna get bad. So, I don't know, man, just fucking, Del the Funky Homo Sapien just said it best. Wash your ass or else you'll get funky. All right? So wash your ass and every other part and brush your teeth and, you know, wash your hair too. For those of us that have the longer hair, you know, use conditioner, damn it. Those, I think, like, those four things were the big things that came out of Combo Breaker, that were, like, a little bit, like, outside of the norm of a tournament. Rick, it's no secret that I'm, like, the biggest Rick fan there is, right? I even sent Rick a message afterwards. I was like, hey, congrats, man. I hope the lead up to Evo is as stress-free as possible. I'm a big Rick fan. So shout-outs to him. Shout-outs to Eidolon as well, because she does so much for Combo Breaker. And I feel like the stuff that she does is, like, not stuff that we usually notice or, like, get to see a lot of. So... shout outs to the both of them. Shout outs to everybody who had a hand in Combo Breaker, man. I watched it from home this year. I'm really sad about it, but I still, like, the excitement and the passion was still infectious, even from watching it through a stream. And I usually hate watching tournaments by myself, man. So, shout out to Combo Breaker, man. One of the best tournaments of the year, in my opinion. And for those of you keeping tabs, this weekend is DreamHack Dallas. One of the big reason for, like, there's a bunch of people converging in Dallas, which also under a tornado watch right now. There's like crazy ass storms happening in Dallas right now. Dallas is about a 4-hour drive north of me. And DreamHack Dallas is this weekend. So everybody who's going, please stay safe. What's really interesting is I'm not able to go because I'm not able to go to Dallas for DreamHack Dallas because I'm working an event that's happening at DreamHack Dallas. There's an Overwatch League thing happening that I am working in, and because I'm working on it, I have to work from home. But yeah, the big thing about DreamHack Dallas this weekend is it is the, if I'm not mistaken, it's like the first of a few esports World Cup qualifiers. So you all know my opinion on the esports World Cup and who runs it and everything. Well, not the person organizing it, because the person organizing it and like doing it is Jabali, but I'm talking about like the people who are funding it and the, you know, that whole thing. You guys know my opinion on it at this point. But it's a thing that's happening. We got to report it. You know, them's the breaks. But yeah, so if I'm not mistaken, it's both for Street Fighter 6 and Tekken 8. So there's a lot of people coming to Dallas this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. And Jabali always runs. DreamHack is always a good time. I don't think I've ever been to a DreamHack and been like upset. You know what I mean? Jabali always does a great job. Jabali and his team, I should say. But yeah. I'm trying to remember. Was there anything else about Combo Breaker that I'm missing? There's DreamHack Dallas and there's tornadoes happening up there as well. Like things are like 80 mile an hour winds are just blowing stuff around. So everybody stay safe up there, will you? Will you? Okay. Look, guys, I have a real treat for you for this next segment here. For those of you watching, you can see the title. For those of you listening. Oh, Q-Ball, thank you. Yeah, the 2X KO demo was there. A full, like, I think somebody said it was like a full, like, 72 hours of 2X KO. Like, they had cabs, so people were playing it nonstop. Apparently, there were a couple of... other games that were unannounced that had like nothing but positive things said. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But anyway, so one of the things that got shown at Combo Breaker was Lydia. Lydia is returning to Tekken 8. We saw the teaser at Evo Japan, and now we got the trailer for Lydia. And look, I have a real treat for you guys because the folks over at Bandai Namco, the Namcops, reached out to me and they were like, hey, we have this alternate edit of this trailer that we want you to show on your show and no one else has it. And I was like, whoa. I don't know why? And they were like, we don't know. So they gave me this alternate edit of the Lydia trailer for us to watch. So we're going to watch the alternate edit, and then we're going to watch the actual Lydia trailer. And we're going to see if we can spot differences, all right? So here is Bandai Namco's formerly... the debut of the alternate edit of the Lydia trailer in Mortal Kombat 8. Everybody, hold on to your butts. Here it is. Oh, there she is. Okay, and that looked like that was her down forward one. Okay. That's the same down forward one again. Whoa, that looks so plus on hit. What the fuck? Wow. That's the most plus on hit button I've ever seen. We're in danger. Oh, okay, that looks like a back four. Wow. some of these hits. Okay, so some of these hits are a little crazy. I don't know how this is gonna go in this game. That button looks ridiculous. The stun, the hit stun on it is crazy. All right, what's this? Is this her heat smash? Whoa, my God. Okay. That's a crazy heat. Okay, that's a crazy heat smash. That looks like it hurts a lot. Okay. What's this? Okay, yeah, that just looked like a regular, like, standing one. Whoa, oh my God. This character is broken. This character is broken. Oh my God, that affects the rest of the match. Oh, okay, here's her rage art. Here's her rage art. Okay, let's see the rage art. Oh my God. Wow. Wow, the anime, it's still going. The animation on that's wild. Holy crap. Dude, this character is broken. Holy shit, dude. Did you guys see that rage art? That rage art took like a minute. And it broke the whole stage. That's crazy. Triple S tier. I know. She's going to be broken. It's very cinematic. Yeah. The camera doesn't move, though, for some reason. For those of you listening, you're just going to have to watch the VOD. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can say to explain that. She wasn't speaking Polish. She's a karate person. So all she said was, "Oss!" That's, you know, what else do you need? Right? I'm with it. But anyway, so here's the regular cut of the Lydia trailer. Let's see if we can spot some differences. The boat on the screen is looking a little weird. So Lydia is joining the... Lydia's joining the roster of people who just bring useless shit to a fight.
Get ready for the next battle.
Oh yeah, we get a new song now. Identical so far? Yep. Absolutely. So Lydia just brings blocks of ice now. Much like how Paul brings his wall. Okay, so we got the stance changes. So, yeah, she looks like Lydia from Tekken 8. She was a big problem at the beginning of her tenure in Tekken 7. So, I'm curious to see if she'll still be that same kind of problem in this game. She looks cool. She really does. Okay, we have her first parry. Her second parry. So, she has the reversals and the parries all back. And if I'm not mistaken, her parries were, like, startup-based. So, I'm interested to see what happens here. And it looks like in her heat activation, she gets access to, like, an extra stance that just, like, does a lot more parrying. Or does a lot of, like, stance canceling, too. Yeah, so see, like, whenever she raises her arms up and down, it looks like, I think that's the stance she gets only when she's in heat mode. Dude, this soundtrack is actually badass. I'm a fan. And then we get... I think, in my opinion, like, one of the coolest rage arts. And these, I'm assuming, are all, like, different karate stances. Oh, see, identical. Oh, sick.
Mam chwilę przed kolejnym spotkaniem. Ciekawe, czy tamta restauracja.
Oh yeah, and then she talks about food or something. But anyway, she's coming out in the summer, so August. Since spring was what, like, when did Eddie come out? He was out in the beginning of May. The end of April? I forget exactly what day. But I don't know, man. She looks really cool. I might. Eddie was April. Okay, thank you, Squidly. She looks really cool. I wanted to learn her in Tekken 7, and I just never did, because at the point when she came out, I was kind of done with Tekken 7. And I haven't been playing Tekken 8 all that much, mostly because, like, you know, as a Dragunov player, playing a top tier character is kind of boring. And you know, I just haven't vibed with Tekken 8 just yet. This whole next gen transition from Street Fighter 5 and Tekken 7 to Street Fighter 6 and Tekken 8 has been a little rough on me, if I'm going to be completely honest. One character per season seems reasonable. Yeah, that was their release schedule, I think, last year or 2 years, like whenever they used to release consistently, pre-pandemic. So it makes sense. I'm excited to see her in the game. I'm excited to try her out in the game. I never learned her in Tekken 7, but she seemed really cool. So we'll see. We'll see. Next couple months. I think we're gonna probably get a release date at Evo. Evo is in July. I'm hoping they do the she's available tomorrow. Whoa! At Evo, because that'd be pretty sick. But yeah, Evo's in July. So honestly, like, that might be it. Who knows? Who knows? But that's Lydia. Super exciting. You know, she, like I was saying during the trailer, she was a big problem at the very beginning when she came out in Tekken 7. A lot of people were having a hard time dealing with her. And then Kunimitsu came out, and all of a sudden people stopped talking about Lydia. But yeah, a lot of people were saying, like, the special intro she has with Reyna is really cool. I 1000% agree. Dude, she's badass, man. And I don't think Lydia in Tekken 8 has a scar over her left eye. I don't know if she has that in Tekken 7. I don't know. I don't follow Tekken lore all that well. I mean, I don't know. I'm excited. You know what I am excited to see? I'm excited to see if they do what they did for Eddie for Lydia. Because with Eddie got his own, like, chapter in the story mode of the game. So I hope they do the same for Lydia. Because more story mode is always cool, man. I'm a big fan of story mode stuff. I know I just said I don't know Tekken lore all that much, and I have never played the story mode, but I love watching other people play Tekken's story mode. You know what I mean? Especially people who don't play fighting games, just because their excitement is very different than ours. So, yeah. I don't know, man. I'm excited. More Tekken is never a bad thing. So far, more Tekken has never been a bad thing. So I'm excited to see her. Last but not least for today, like I said, today was going to be a shorter show, but we're almost at the 1 hour mark here. Last but not least on today, I wanted to talk about Multiverses, because Multiverses released today. And if for those of you that were hanging out with me earlier today, we played it and I have some thoughts. First, I'm happy that Multiverses is back. That game was very well loved by the people who played it, and it is back, and it seems like a lot of people are super happy about it. However, from what I've played today, the game is very, very, very different, right? Some of the big changes are the camera is different. So instead of it being as zoomed out as the beta version of it was, it's a little bit more zoomed in. And as a result, the characters are slower, which is interesting. I think the input system that they have is off, right? The input buffer that they have is extremely, extremely huge. So it almost works like Mortal Kombat, for those of you that are Mortal Kombat players, where, like, you can literally press, like, two buttons. You can press one button, and then immediately after you press that one button, the second button, and that'll come out as soon as the first move is done. That is, in my opinion, very bad for a platform fighter like this, because you want, like, this game is, like, supposed to be, like, very, like, active. Right, it's very different than a 2D fighting game, right? Because there's a lot more room to move, a lot more decision making, a lot more things are happening. So having something store up a buffer, or like having something buffer for so long, causes a lot of problems. And it kind of also makes the game feel a little sticky. And what I mean by that is, like, it feels like This was kind of the same thing I felt in Rumbleverse, in like the, when they did the first big patch change, where it feels like whenever you do something, it takes a little bit for it to happen. Or whenever you do something and you want to do something else, like it's very things that you don't want to happen are happening because you like accidentally pressed the button while things were already happening, right? So it just feels like things are a little sticky. I wish I had a better way of explaining what I mean by when I say sticky. But it just feels like things get caught a little bit, right? And I don't know if that's an unintentional change because they changed engines, right? They used to be in Unreal 4, now they're in Unreal 5. I don't know if it's an intentional thing that the devs wanted, right? But my hope is that will get changed. Or not necessarily changed, but I hope that gets like tweaked a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I think the biggest, and that's what I think people are saying when they say the game feels slower, right? Because the game looks very different, like the camera is much more zoomed in, the game does move a little slower. A lot of people have been disliking that. I think it's just one of those things where the more we play it, the more we'll grow to love it kind of thing. It's just different than what we played before, right? I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. I just think it's a new thing. So I'm you know... We'll see. The single player stuff is interesting. I got very bored of it very quickly, but I think that's just because I don't play fighting games for single player content. but it's really cool. They give you opportunities to earn characters for you to buy, or earn characters for you to unlock, rather, because this is a free-to-play game. So the fact that they have paths for you to complete a bunch of missions and unlock characters is really, really cool. I'm a fan of that. There are a lot of ways for you to earn all the different like live service game currencies and shit, which is pretty cool. And I think in my opinion they did a lot for the people who spent money and played in those betas, right? Everything that was unlocked in the beta, like if it's not in the game anymore or if it was a currency that no longer exists, they gave you something else for it in like as close to the value of it as possible. And I don't mean that in a negative way, like that I think that's a positive thing. But yeah, the crazy thing is like, it's weird. It's weird how much is like, it's crazy like how big the roster of IPs are for something like this, right? Because this is in the WB. So like you have people like Arya Stark fighting the new guy, fucking Jason Voorhees and like Agent Smith. You got the Joker fighting like the guy from the Gremlins. It's wild. It's wild. You got the Iron Giant beating up on the guys from Adventure Time or whatever in Steven Universe. It's crazy. Yeah, LeBron James is in there. Why is he in there? Who the hell knows? He's so out of... I thought because of Space Jam, he was going to fit in, but like... Yeah, it was... Look, that's just my opinion, man. Like, if there's a LeBron main out there, more power to you. More power to you, you know? But it's really interesting to see a company like Warner Brothers get behind this so much. And something that I saw right before we went live was this video on Twitter here. And if you guys don't know who these people are, I'll fill you in as soon as this is done. But check this out. This was cool.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Daniel Ross. And I'm with...
Ian Cardone.
Harry Belden.
And we're all voice actors in a fun game called Multiverses, which is out today.
Today!
And so we just wanted to say thank you for being fans of Multiverses and playing, and we're going to be playing. We're in the game.
You might actually play with one of us.
We may play. So our handles are...
Actually Rick.
President Morty with a Z.
And I'm actor Daniel Ross. So, yeah, come play the game. We want to see you there.
Yeah.
Bye, buddy.
All right, see you in the multiverse.
Hey,
so for those of you that don't so for those of you that don't know, the person in the center of that is Daniel Ross. Daniel Ross is the person who voices Gizmo, the person who voices whatever the other half of the Gremlin is, and he's also the voice of Donald Duck. he won an Emmy recently. Is it an Emmy? I always forget. Like Emmy, Grammy, whatever. He won an Emmy recently for his performance as Donald Duck in a Disney movie. So shout outs to him, man. I'm a big Daniel Ross fan, dude. I love the guy. He seems really, really cool. And then they have the guys who voice Rick and Morty as well. Like it's crazy that I don't. There's a part of me that thinks that WB was like, hey, just go play the game for like an hour. Here's some money. So like, I don't know if they're actually doing it because they want to play or if like, you know, WB's shelling out that WB cash. All those tax write-offs that WB got for canceling the Wile E. Coyote movie has gone into getting them to play the game. Oh, man. So, Squidly, you're saying Animaniacs is a rumored character. So, here's the interesting thing is there's so much stuff. There's so much new stuff in multiverses now. Like, there is a Townsville from Powerpuff Girls stage. And Mojo Jojo flies in there and, like, fucks with you. It's really cool. There's a Dexter's Lab stage. And honestly, if Dexter and the Powerpuff Girls are in this game, then I'm sold. I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, that's my childhood right there. Especially if they get Ed, Edd n Eddy. If they get Ed, Edd n Eddy, it's over. I'm an Ed, Edd n Eddy main. I don't even care how they play. I'm an Ed, Edd n Eddy main. And they do have a lot of references to the Animaniacs. Like, I think in the release trailer, which is the opening cinematic, like, they open up the water tower where the Animaniacs live. So it's just a matter of time until, like, whatever IPs they have. Honestly, Gandalf's probably next for all we know. It's going to be like Gandalf. And somebody was saying, like Paul Atreides and shit. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh, God. Ugh. But yeah, so it's a very, very different game than what the beta was. I don't quite have an opinion on it yet. My initial knee-jerk reaction is that it's a little difficult to play just because of like that input buffer issue. And I was hoping it was going to be an option that you can change, much like how you can change it in Mortal Kombat. But it is not. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to spend more time with it. I'm going to try to dig into it a little bit further. My Harley Quinn has been beating people up. So I don't know. Maybe I'll get a hold of Sharpie and we can play. She can teach me how to play the game. But yeah, well, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I'm forgetting. I don't think there is, but I could be wrong. Chat, my fellow co-hosts of the day, am I forgetting anything? I saw Cheyenne was saying that apparently there's going to be a Homelander trailer tomorrow. Cool. I wish they would have done it before the show, but you know. I'm sure like immediately after I go offline, it's going to be like, oh, Tekken 8, the lady is coming out tomorrow. Or whatever, right? Or it's going to be like, oh, Virtua Fighter 6 is releasing tomorrow. Hold off on the pizza bet. Yeah, so the pizza bet has concluded. I'm going to reveal the results when Automatic is back. Automatic, unfortunately, couldn't be here today. He is in the hospital. I say in the hospital because he says he's in the hospital whenever he's pissed off about fighting games. He's not actually in the hospital. He's fine. I realized immediately after I said it, it's like, oh shit, he's in the house. No, he's fine. Everything's fine. He's fine. I apologize. Sorry for the false alarm. For those of you that weren't here at the very beginning of the show. But anyway, we're officially, well, we're close to the 1 hour mark. We're at the 59 minute mark. Honestly, this went like 30 minutes longer than I thought it would. So that's a full show, baby. We did it. We did it. Solo shows are back. Well, until Automatic's back next week, hopefully. But that's going to be it for me tonight, everybody. Come back tomorrow at this very channel here on Twitch, twitch.tv/bestofvshow. I'll be streaming again. We're probably going to try a little bit more Rumble. Rest in peace. We're going to try a little bit more of multiverses. I'm going to try to see if I can find some enjoyment out of Street Fighter 6 a little bit better. And we'll see where we go from there. All right? Cool. Thanks, everybody, for joining. As always, if you are listening to the audio version of this podcast, feel free to give us a review. right? Like, let me know how you guys feel about this shit. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment. If you're here on Twitch, like, send me an email. I don't know. Just let me know what you guys think of this shit. You know what I mean? I want to make this better. And I need your help. So feel free to email me or join us in the Discord and we can discuss. We can help refine this so we can make this into something that we all love and cherish. Because right now, I love this. Well, a little bit. I'm joking. All right, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go play some New World. I got back into New World. That's my like stoner game. Every time I like take an edible, I just play New World until I pass out. So I'm going to go do that. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate y'all. Welcome back from Combo Breaker. And those of you traveling to DreamHack this weekend, safe travels. Stay safe. Not only for the Texas weather, but because you're in Texas. So please stay safe. And I'll catch you guys here tomorrow for a stream. And for the podcast, we'll be back next week. All right? Cool. Thanks, everybody. I'll catch you then. Goodbye.